The book of Exodus, chapter 34, verse 35, the Bible says, "And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him." This message is entitled, "Shining with the Glory of God." Amen. Shining with the glory of God. So the Bible is saying the skin of Moses' face shone. What an amazing scripture. You know, what a contrast, what a rebuke to the spirit of the current world that we live in. Look at the fashions of this world today. If somebody's face is shining today, the first thing people will ask is, what kind of beauty product or what kind of skin cream are you using? You see? So the world is all about today glowing so that the glory will be given to themselves. But not so in the kingdom of God. You see, Moses was a man who, he was a man of the desert. He had lived 40 years in the desert. You can imagine how his skin must have looked. It was baked dry by the sun, by the harsh weather conditions. His skin must have been wrinkled and damaged beyond repair. But you see, when you spend time with God, 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain with God, he came down with his face shining. His skin was shining, praise God. There is no beauty product on this world, in this world. There is no place in this world that can make you shine like Moses was shining, praise God. Hallelujah. You need to get Jesus. You need to get God in order to shine like Moses, praise God. May we shine with the glory of God. Amen. May we shine not with the beauty of this world, but with the glory of Jesus. Hallelujah. Spend some time with Jesus, and you will be amazed at how the glory of Jesus will make you shine, will make you beautiful, will make you a blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. So here is a man, Moses, as I said, a man of the desert, a Bedouin by this time, the most humble man on the face of this earth, a man who would never seek attention for himself. And yet, God gave him so much attention. Hallelujah. The world today is looking for attention for themselves. Everybody wants to be recognized. Everybody is fighting for a little space of recognition. That's why they're on so many social media platforms. You know why one person is a member of 10 social media platforms? Because maybe 9 of them do not recognize that person. So that they have to keep seeking until they get a few likes, a few good comments. That is all they're looking for. That has become their Mount Sinai. That has become their Mount of Transfiguration. God have mercy if we cannot be happy without recognition. The only recognition we need is the recognition of Jesus. Amen. And that recognition, you must climb that mountain alone, not with a group of admirers, not with a cheering crowd. There are some people who cannot go anywhere without sharing with the world. Look at me. I'm here at the Wall of China. Look at me. I am climbing Mount such and such. Today we are afraid to be alone with God. Why? It is when you're alone with God that you will shine with the glory of God. We have to learn to enter upon a fast from recognition, a fast from the world, a fast from a need for social recognition. May God take you to Mount Sinai. May God take you to the wilderness of Judea. May God take you to Mount Horeb. Hallelujah. In a world which seems that they can no longer tolerate to be alone with God. Amen. We are not alone. We do not seek loneliness or solitude. We seek Jesus. The company of Jesus is equivalent to the company of 1 billion people. And even that cannot compare with the company of Jesus. When Moses is 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain, it is 40 days and 40 nights for the people downstairs. But for Moses, it's not 40 days and 40 nights, because 1,000 years is as one day in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Can we shout hallelujah? A person who loves the presence of Jesus, a person who loves to pray, you will not say 40 days. You will say 40 minutes went by. Amen. You see, when people don't know God, then they complain and say he's away for 40 days. But people who know God, they will say, no, he is in the presence of God. Time does not mean anything in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Today, people are tortured. Time has become something fearful. Time tortures them. They're afraid to be alone. They cannot stand their own shadows. And so they run onto this platform on the internet. They jump onto that platform, this platform. Look at me here. They want to be entertained by senseless things. But to spend time in the presence of God is scary for them. But not for Moses. Not for the three apostles whom Jesus took to the high mountain. Amen. Do we dare to be alone with God? Are we willing to climb the mountain? Praise Jesus. You see, when you dare to climb the mountain to be alone with God, you are dead to the world, but alive to God. Moses did not take anything with him. No wife, no children, no brother and sisters, no food even. No water even. There comes a time, brothers and sisters, we have to know how to leave the world. Leave everything. You will not take anything with you out of this world. We came naked into this world and we shall leave this world naked, the Bible says. Do we dare to be alone with God? For some people, it is a prison sentence to be told, put your mobile away and spend one day with God. It's like a prison sentence. It's as if we were born with mobile phones. It's as if people, you know, babies come out these days with holding a mobile phone. They have a number. God have mercy. May God deliver us from everything else except him. Hallelujah. Are we able to leave everything to spend time in the presence of God? If you want to shine with the glory of God, then we have to know how to leave everything aside. Amen. Amen. To value only the presence of God. Hallelujah. This is how we can make a change in this world. Because the world is tired of people who have only spent time with human beings. They have nothing to give them. You know, soon we have heard everything there is to hear. There is nothing new under the sun. But we need to hear somebody who has been with Jesus. Somebody who speaks like Jesus. Somebody whose spirit, whose words, whose thinking is completely different. That is why when Jesus came, they said, never a man spake like him. Never. People forgot to arrest him. People were so shocked. They gave up their lunch for him. People were willing to give back all that they stole. You remember Zacchaeus? Just because of the way he spoke. the way, His holiness. Amen. This is what the world needs. The world has everything. Doesn't need us. It only needs people who know Jesus. The world is desperate. There is a job description that the world is crying out for. It needs people who know Jesus, who spend time with Jesus. This is the number one need of the world, of the hour, today. May you be one of those people. All you need to do is spend some time in the closet with Jesus. Climb up your Mount Sinai. Climb up your Mount of Transfiguration. This is what the world is looking for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Moses shined with the glory of God. You know why this man shined with the glory of God? Because in the book of Exodus, chapter 33, verse 11, the book of Exodus, chapter 33, verse 11, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." Amen. God spake to him face to face as a man speaks to his friend. How do you think God was speaking to Moses? Do you have a friend? How do you speak to your friend? I think you speak about everything. Amen. You speak good things with each other. You encourage each other. I mean, God is our friend. Moses was not terrified, shaking up there. Then that's not a friend. If you have a friend who you always are nervous to meet, yeah, and you almost get a heart attack every time you have to meet that friend, that's not a friend. Maybe that's your boss. I hope you don't have such a boss. But my point is, to meet God should be a happy occasion. You should look forward to it. You're going to meet your best friend. Understand the meaning of prayer. If prayer is a chore, if prayer is something which is a burden for you, if you get nervous, if you are not happy, then you don't know what prayer is. Moses spoke to his friend. Jesus said, "I call you my friends. A servant does not know what his master does, but we know what our Lord Jesus is doing. He's our friend." When I met Jesus in 1986, I'm so happy to hear the testimony of Brother Kalle here. But I can tell you, when I saw him, he didn't frighten me. I was in awe, yes, awe. Great, great wonder. But he put his arm around my shoulder. You've heard me say this before. He put his arm around my shoulder. He walked with me. It seemed like millions of years went by. I told you, time means nothing over there. Every word of his was edifying me, encouraging me. He was really a father, a friend. He was everything to me. Once you meet Jesus, you will be totally addicted to Jesus. You'll never meet somebody like him. He is God. There's no discussion, no doubt. Amen. Nobody else fulfills the criteria of God except Jesus. Amen. He's a creator. He's a healer. He's a savior. He resurrected his own body. He will make a new heaven and a new earth. He made hell, and he can destroy hell. He can destroy our souls and our bodies in hell. He can throw powerful angels into hell and demons. He is God. Hallelujah. There is no God beside him. He is the truth. What is the truth? The truth is Jesus. The truth is facts. The truth is reality. The fact is Jesus. The reality is Jesus. Everything else is falsehood. Everything else is fake. We don't love falsehood. We don't want fakes. I've always wanted the truth. Amen. Nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Hallelujah. Jesus is the truth. He even said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. In other words, without him, we are lost. You don't know the way. Without him, there is no truth. That means a person is in falsehood. And he said he is a life. Without him, you are dead. Amen. Hallelujah. We love Jesus. Jesus is good. Jesus is God. So all Moses had to do was go up to the mountain and stay there. Some people have a problem to stay with Jesus. Please tell yourself next time, stay with Jesus. You know, some people just come and tell Jesus, hello, and then they say within 2 seconds, goodbye. Yeah? When you come to God, let God say goodbye. Don't say goodbye yourself. Amen. Let God leave communing with us. Amen. You remember the Bible says, and then God's presence went up from the tabernacle. It means God was the one who initiated the conversation, and God is the one who concluded the conversation. Praise Jesus. Not human beings, not us. Hallelujah. This is how your face will shine. I'm speaking about your face shining. Amen. Not with creams from L'Oreal and Nivea. No, we don't need that. At the airport once, have you noticed when you go to airports, especially in Oslo now, it was not this way before. But right now, as soon as you go through the international gate, you don't have a choice. You automatically have to go through all these makeup department and perfume and creams, cosmetics. It always disturbed me. I don't want to buy something. I don't buy anything from the women's department. 50 shades of lipstick. What do I have to do with that? Why do I have to walk through that by force? And I see some women standing and looking at me, almost about to ask me, would you like to try some lipstick? God have mercy. But you see, my point is, the word cosmetics comes from cosmos. Cosmos is the world. Did you know that cosmetics means to put the world on your face? I don't want to put the world on my face. I want to put Jesus on my face, the Spirit of God upon my face. One woman once asked me, you have very nice skin. What do you put on your skin? I wanted to say Jesus. I apply Jesus on my skin. That's the only cream. That's the only thing I use on my face. Amen. But you see, if you spend time with the world, with alcohol and cigarettes and drugs, you know your face will look different. But if you spend time with Jesus, yes, your face will shine. Amen. You can feel Jesus on your face. Hallelujah. So we need to spend time with him. We need not the cosmos on our faces. We need Jesus on our faces. Hallelujah. God leaves a permanent mark on those who are his friends. And spend time talking with him. Do you want the world to leave a permanent mark on you, or you want Jesus to leave a mark on you? You know, the people you spend time with, they have the power to affect the way that you look. You remember King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon? He was a man who spent much time talking with the devil. Yeah? How did he look after some time? Well, we have it in the book of Daniel, chapter 4, verse 33. Daniel, chapter 4, verse 33 says, the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and he did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. This is how the devil will make you look if you spend time with him. His hair like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. God have mercy. The word of God never returns empty to God. It does marvelous things. When God spoke face to face with Moses, his word came into Moses. It renewed the skin of Moses, because the word of God will never come back empty to him. It says in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11, Isaiah 55 and verse 11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Amen. So for 40 days and 40 nights, Moses communed with God alone. No family or children, as I said, no Aaron, no Joshua, not even food to distract him from his conversation with God. That's why I said earlier, I am convinced that one reason Christians are struggling in our days is because of the many digital and technologically induced addictions and distractions that we have. What would we do if the Lord called us up to the mountain like Moses for 40 days and 40 nights with no distractions? We need to fight back in Jesus' name. We need to reclaim time for Jesus. Hallelujah. We can still shine with the glory of the Lord if we are willing to shut out the world and concentrate only on Jesus. Hallelujah. The book of Psalms chapter 16 and verse 11. Psalm 16 and verse 11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." We must be concerned and pray for a new generation of children growing up who may never understand the meaning of these words, that at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. The tragedy of this generation that we live in is that they have created too many inventions that have taken the children away from Jesus. Like the Pied Piper of Hamelin. I don't know if some of you have heard of this children's legend or fable, but back in my Anglo-Indian British boarding school, we had this fable or legend or whatever you want to call it, children's story, the Pied Piper of Hamelin. Hamelin is, I believe, a city in Germany or town, and it was infested by rats, and so nobody could get rid of these rats, and so finally there was a guy, a Pied Piper. He had a long gown which had many colors, stripes, quite a character. And he told the mayor, I can get rid of these rats. And said, okay, go ahead. He began to play on his flute, and all the rats followed him. I remember recite the poem or the story in what we call elocution. Had to stand in front of the class, and big rats, small rats, fat rats, and they all followed him. All the rats came out. And he played the flute. He was a magician. And he led all these rats into a mountain. The mountain opened up, and all the rats were imprisoned there, died there. And he came back to collect his money. And they refused to give him the money. So you know what the Pied Piper did? He warned them. He said, "You owe me my money. I got rid of all the rats." They didn't listen. So he began to play the flute. Guess what? The children, not the you, I'm speaking about the human children, not the vermin or the rat children, the human children began to follow him. And they were hypnotized. And then he took them into the mountain, and all the children disappeared. You know, the devil is playing. He's a Pied Piper of Hamelin. He wants to take our children away. With the, you know, he put a spell on them. He's hypnotizing them. with all these digital inventions so that they don't have time to pray, time for Jesus, time for church. This is a new challenge in this generation, I'm telling you. May God help us. What was the worst that we had when we were growing up, children of the 70s and 80s? I think the worst was something, Nintendo. What was it called? Donkey Kong. Those kinds of Atari videos. You know, how many people had that? Not many. There was no internet. You couldn't, you know, it was all analog. You couldn't play with anybody except somebody physically there. But today it's different. The Pied Piper is playing. May God help us. It's going to take something special. It's going to take a miracle. It's going to take a lot of fasting and praying. Amen. May God deliver us, deliver our children in Jesus' name. May he break the spell of the Pied Piper of Hamelin in Jesus' name. Amen. So coming back, we need to understand, I'm speaking about being in the presence of God, shining with the glory of God. I'm speaking about at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Oh, praise God. Today, I'm so happy to hear the testimony of Brother Kalle from Denmark, because, you know, all these years when we are laboring, we keep coming every Saturday, Sunday, because we believe that the work we do for Jesus has meaning, value, eternal value, eternal value. And then somebody like him comes, and then we hear this testimony. And then he comes even to our website, he's downloading messages. He said, this is, like he said, this is, you're preaching what is in my soul. We rejoice because we know we are not laboring in vain. The devil would want to tell you you're laboring in vain. Never believe it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 120 years Noah was preaching. He did not see one person turn to God and join him in the ark. But did he stop preaching? No. Until the last day. I'm sure before Noah entered the ark, he preached his last sermon in Jesus' name. Can we determine in Jesus' name until the last day when we enter the ark, when Jesus comes to take us, we will stand outside the ark and preach our last sermon. Hallelujah. Until Jesus takes us. Hallelujah. Let us make a pact about this. Praise God. Whether people listen or not, amen, doesn't matter. You know, we will, by the way, never know how many people we touched until we go to heaven. We will never know. I know that for sure. We thank God that Brother Kalle sent an email to me. But how many others are there that we will touch in Jesus' name? And we will never know until we go to heaven. Hallelujah. So please keep laboring. Please be faithful. Don't look at the wind blowing the, you know, I preached this sermon 2 weeks ago. He who observes the wind will never sow. We are laboring for eternity. We are laboring for the one phrase that we will hear from Jesus. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Well done. Hallelujah. May Jesus help us. Say we will stay in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's continue. You see, this is the meaning of the term, the beauty of holiness. God's beauty became the beauty of Moses. In the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 29, the Bible says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering. Come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is the only makeup we will need our whole lives. Amen. We need the beauty of holiness. If a person does not have the beauty of holiness, there is no beauty. Amen. Let us resolve to seek the beauty of the glory of Jesus. Let me tell you, when Moses came down from the mountain and was shining, everybody was looking at him. Even the most beautiful woman in Israel was ignored. Let me repeat that. When Moses came down from the mountain, all the attention is on Moses. Even the most beautiful woman in Israel was completely ignored. Hallelujah. You cannot compete with the glory of God. You cannot compete with the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah. This world and its beauty is vain. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Hallelujah. Come on. Yeah. That day, God exalted the beauty of Moses. He was more than 80 years old. In his physical appearance, there's no beauty. But when the beauty of God came upon him, hallelujah, all of Israel are talking only about Moses. They forgot, you know, the Miss Universe competition. Yeah. They ignored all those candidates on the catwalks and whatever. We don't need that world. It's a false world. And you know, that beauty of the world changes after some time. But the beauty of Jesus is forever. Hallelujah. Do you know we will shine as angels in eternity? Praise God. We will have, God will give us the beauty of holiness. This is the beauty we need to talk about. This is the beauty we want, the attraction we want. Amen. What do you think Moses did on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights? Firstly, I said, of course, time goes quickly in heaven. Jesus is your friend. You know, when you're with a good friend, the only thing you regret is that time is short, isn't it? But at the same time, Moses was 40 days and 40 nights because he had a lot of interceding to do. Don't forget, this man is not up there alone for himself. He has 2 million people and their burden upon him. How could he be so long with God? Well, you know, some of us are finished talking with God for 5 minutes because all we ask about is, Lord, bless me today. Lord, give me a good day today. Let my boss be kind to me today. Let whatever I touch turn to gold today. And Lord, remember my family. Remember my friends. And remember my bank account. In Jesus' name, amen. This is how we pray. And that's why our prayers finish after 5 minutes. The prayer of me, myself, and I. And a little bit maybe with my family. Not with Moses. Moses was a man who interceded for Israel. From the beginning, he killed an Egyptian man. Why? He had a spirit for his people. He was not afraid of losing everything for the sake of his people. He jeopardized his career. He jeopardized his status. He didn't care about these things. A man who was willing to die for his people. When you have such a spirit, God will call you up to the mountain. God will honor you and say, come, speak for your people. Pray for the church. Who do you want to talk to me about today? That sister? That brother? God loves such people. He will spend a lot of time with you. Amen. When you go on your knees and say, Lord, I have not come for myself. I don't care about myself. I come because I have 2 million people with me. I'm afraid that these people may not make it to the Holy Land. I've seen the rebellion, Lord, and you yourself want to wipe them out, but what will the enemy say, my God? All these miracles you did. Remember Abraham. Remember Isaac. Remember Jacob. My God, you gave them manna in the desert. You gave us water in the desert. All these things I prayed for. You see, when you are praying for other people, you can be 40 days and 40 years on the mountain with God. Such people's prayers never finish. They don't say, amen. Give us this day our daily bread and then amen. The whole day they're talking with God. And at night too, praise God. So Moses was on the mountain because he has a list of prayers to make. Do you know that Moses even knew that the children of Israel were worshiping a golden idol. It was Joshua who did not know, but Moses knew. When you spend time with God, there is no surprises. Amen. God will speak to you face to face. He will reveal to you what is going on. Moses told Joshua, no, it's not the sound of people, a war. No, they're not in a war for God. It's the opposite. These people are not serious with God. They are worshiping a devil, and I'm going down there to teach them a lesson. Maybe Moses prayed, Lord, don't destroy them. God must have told him, I'm going to destroy these people. They're worshiping an idol right now. And Moses must have cried, I will take care of them. I'll go down and teach them a lesson. He smashed the Ten Commandments. What is the use, I've always said, of giving people Ten Commandments when they cannot keep the first commandment? What is the use? They don't deserve it, was Moses saying. He took that golden calf, he smashed it, he mixed it with water, and he made them drink the so-called God. That's why God loved Moses. Nobody was more zealous for God than Moses. Moses, the Jews say from Moshe to Moshe, there's no one like Moshe. Praise God. A great man of God. We call our children Moses. Call your children Moses. You see, he begged God to be patient with his rebellious people. He prayed for protection against the many enemies of God in the desert. He prayed for the law of God and for understanding to interpret it and keep it. He prayed for the priesthood of Aaron, which already was in trouble down preparing the golden calf. He prayed for humility and many, many, many other things for 40 days. The longer the list that God gives you to intercede for, the longer you will be in his presence, praise God. And the more the glory of God will shine upon you. Hallelujah. This is why God called Moses, praise God. May God call you. May you be the Moses of God. Hallelujah. In the book of Exodus, chapter 34 and verse 35, the Bible says, and the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. Moses was the humblest man on the face of the earth. He knew that everyone was now talking about him and not about God. Moses wanted Israel to focus on the Lord. So he covered his face with a veil. God is not capricious like human beings. He's not a God who one day says this and then changes it the next day. No. You know, there was a man, a general of the Soviet Union called Georgi Zhukov. He was a Soviet general who first entered and conquered Berlin, Germany, during World War II. Later, he rode on a splendid, glorious white horse in Moscow, in the Red Square, and he was hailed as one of the greatest heroes of Russia. The people clapped for him. Oh, Zhukov. However, his popularity fueled the jealousy of Joseph Stalin. Joseph Stalin stripped him of his positions, sent him off, basically destroyed him. Our God is not like this. Our God loves to honor mere mortals. He loves to honor Moses. He shared, he gave him some of his blessing. But Moses is no mere mortal. Moses never liked attention to his person. That's why God called him. In the book of Exodus, chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. How many people would speak like this and declare, glorify their weakness and say, I am nothing. I can't even speak. You're choosing the wrong person. God knows whom he calls and whom he anoints. When you refuse to honor yourself and you wish to return the glory to God, the Lord will chase after you and use you. May God chase after you. May God chase after you. Amen. Finally, the reason that Moses put on a veil, and listen carefully now, is because the glory of God cannot shine through the law. Amen. You see, the law of God is hindered because of the fallen human sinful nature. So Moses' veil is symbolic of human nature, Adamic flesh, which is fallen. The glory of God cannot shine through. Yes, the law of God is glorious. It's perfect. It's pure. It's holy. But the veil represents our sins and the flesh of Adam, which will not allow the glory of God to shine through. In the book of Romans, chapter 7 and verse 12, Romans chapter 7 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, "Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good." So what is the problem? Well, the problem is, he says in verse 14, he says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." So this is where the word was made flesh comes into the picture. Amen. You see, the human flesh of Adam, because of sin, the glory of God cannot shine through. So you have to remove this veil of Adam, the flesh of Adam. How? Through baptism in Jesus' name. Baptism is for the flesh. Baptizo means to cut off, to bury. What are we cutting off? What are we burying? The sinful Adamic nature, which dwells in the body of Adam. The human body is a deposit for sin. Where does Satan deposit his sins? In the human body. Where are the sins of the human spirit deposited? In the flesh. That's why the flesh dies. That's why it goes back to the dust. It's eaten by worms. That is why Jesus said, in hell, their worm does not die. You see? Why will you not remove the body of Adam, which anyhow will be eaten by worms in this earth and in the next? You say, there are worms in hell. Jesus said it. Why will you carry a body that belongs to worms? God have mercy. Why will you carry a body that the worms have a right to eat? Cut it off, throw it away, give it back to the worms. Do it now by faith in Jesus' name. Cut it off. This is the meaning of circumcision in the Old Testament. But the Jewish people did not understand the meaning. They're still circumcising their children. The Muslims are circumcising their children. Why did Abraham circumcise himself and Isaac? Because the gospel was preached to him. He knew that when he does this circumcision by faith, he will receive the body of Jesus, the Word made flesh. Hallelujah. No worm can touch that body. The worms have no right to the body of Jesus. The worms have nothing to do with baptism in Jesus' name. The worms belong only to the dust and to hell. Amen. That's why we tell people, remove the body of Adam. Be baptized in Jesus' name. Put on the body of Jesus. Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Moses was covering himself with a veil, and the glory of God could not shine because it is the Adamic body which hinders the glory of Jesus from shining. We need a new veil. Hallelujah. Where is that faith? Well, I have good news in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 20. Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 20. By a new, somebody say new, and living way. What? What? By which he had consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. Wow. Here we have the answer. Praise God. God is never without a solution. The devil thinks he's smart. Let me tell you, where did the devil get his smartness from? He said, oh, the devil is gay. He's smart. Who thought the devil to think? Who gave him, who allowed him to breathe? It is God. Hallelujah. God didn't teach him to be evil. He thought himself. But no one can outsmart God. God already had a new plan. A new plan of salvation. Hallelujah. Through his own flesh. He says, salvation is through the body of God. Yes. Through his blood, through his flesh, and through his spirit. Amen. All of God saves us today. You say, all of God? Yes. What is the name of all of God now? Well, the name of all of God is Jesus. Hallelujah. For as Brother Kalle was saying, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead body. All of God today saves us. All of God, yes. His spirit, his flesh, his blood. He's the Father, he's the Son, he's the Holy Ghost. Amen. Salvation is of him, by him. Hallelujah. There is no salvation outside of him. The name of God was so important, God did not trust a human being to declare that name. It was top secret. The top of the top secrets, which had to be carried by none other than Gabriel, who came and said, his name, you shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. That one name, Pharaoh, Herod, Caesar, Hitler, Mao Zedong, Stalin, all would have wanted to stop that angel from coming with that name. They could not. He said, I'm Gabriel. Ha! I stand in the presence of God. So why are you here? You must have the most important message ever. Yes. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And Peter, the man who was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I've always said no human being has been given so much power except Peter. That's serious. Here is a man who has the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What are we talking? What keys? Hallelujah. I mean, without those keys, you can't enter. So imagine him standing there with the keys on the day of Pentecost, or after the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 4. There is no other name. Everybody must have stopped selling their cucumbers and tomatoes and turn around. Here is a man with keys to the kingdom. There is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We must preach it. These are the most powerful words in the world. Sometimes I'm afraid to look at TV because they're proclaiming rubbish, which destroys people boldly. Why shall we not proclaim these truths boldly? Hallelujah. Save souls in Jesus' name. Say his name is Jesus. Say his name is Jesus. By what power? By what name? Say Jesus. Hallelujah. By what name are we saved? The name of Jesus. By what name, hallelujah, are we walking around in the name of Jesus? By what name will I die? In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. By what name will we live forever? In the name of Jesus. Moses came down from the mountain and shone with the glory of God. But we come up out of the grave of baptism in Jesus' name and shine with the true glory of God, the glory of Jesus Christ. I love the mountain, but I love better to come up from the grave of baptism in Jesus' name with the glory of Jesus. Hallelujah. When you go down in baptism in Jesus' name and come up, hallelujah, you'll be shining with the glory of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Everybody can shine with the glory of Jesus if you repent and are baptized in Jesus' name and receive the Holy Ghost. We can all come up from the grave. But from the mountain, only Moses could come down, one person. But from the grave, everybody, all of us, from the waters of baptism in Jesus' name. Praise God. I'm speaking to anybody, anywhere in the world who will be hearing these messages. What a wonderful thing today. We thank God. It's a blessing again, as I say, we have Brother Kalle from Denmark with us. He's only with us because of these messages on our website. And how many more God can bring to join with us, to reach them in different parts of the world? They should know, as he said, he felt alone. Nobody else seems to believe God is one. There is no Trinity. And when he heard these messages, he said, wow, he was so happy. We want you to know. Elijah may have felt he's alone. He's not alone. God says 7,000 have not bowed the knee to Baal. Hallelujah. I know God will raise up millions and millions of one God believers in the world. Millions and millions. Hallelujah. As the time returns, comes close for Jesus to come back, Jesus will purify the church. Jesus will purify the doctrine. Jesus, hallelujah, will send people in the spirit of Elijah, the spirit of John the Baptist, to reconcile the hearts of the children with their fathers. Hallelujah. The truth will return, praise God. The day of Pentecost will return, praise God. Amen. The spirit of Peter will return, hallelujah. And the spirit of Paul will rise up and go to the nations and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ before he returns. Amen. For the Bible does not say he is coming back for a people who are half prepared. It says for a people who are prepared, for a church, a bride that has made herself ready. Amen. And we are part of this work. We are the people who are preparing the bride. Amen. Say amen. Say accept this work. Accept this work in Jesus' name. Praise God. God is doing a wonderful work. You see all the nations. He's working on the nations. Imagine how wonderful is it? A Somali Norwegian is preaching this gospel. We heard the testimony of a Lebanese Dane. These are amazing combinations. Yeah, amazing. Have you ever heard of such a thing? There are people from Netherlands here. People from USA, people from, strange, I mean, I was about to say strange places. No, there's no strange for some people. But for God, this is normally said, I will pour out of my spirit in the last days upon all flesh. Hallelujah. And we are seeing it now. And we want to hear more about these wonderful hyphenated identities or whatever you want to call it. Amen. Third culture kids. There are so many wonderful terms. Whatever you call yourself, mixed race, hyphenated, whatever, more than anything, call yourself a child of Jesus Christ, a Christian, born again of the water and the spirit in Jesus' name. God bless you. May you shine with the glory of Jesus. Amen. May you spend time in his presence every day. May you intercede for many people. May God be your friend and talk with you. May you come down from the mountain and destroy some idols. Amen. Amen. May you bless the people of God. May you be a blessing for the kingdom of Jesus, for the name of Jesus. May you shine forever with the glory of Jesus. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us pray in conclusion. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful. We don't know where to begin. We heard such a beautiful testimony today. Thank you for Brother Kalle. Thank you for Denmark. Thank you for his family. Thank you for the memory of his father. We believe that he's with you. You reveal yourself to him. You're revealing yourself to people from Muslim, whatever backgrounds. You are working in Aalborg. You're working in Oslo. You are working in Stockholm. You're working everywhere. We thank you for it. We are edified. We know we're not alone. You are God. You are working, amen, every day, every moment. Jesus, I pray this message will go far and wide. It will bless people all over the world and challenge them to be like Moses. Challenge them to put on Christ, to be baptized in Jesus, to know that God is one and Jesus is the Father. Hallelujah. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There is no God outside of Jesus. The God who is everywhere is Jesus. When we say Jesus, we are speaking about the Spirit of God. God is the Spirit. And we're speaking about God who is also Word. The Word was made flesh. And the Spirit dwells in that flesh. You are not outside of your body. You operate through your body. You save through your body. Amen. We thank you once again for this great revelation for which we live. We've asked you to make us a blessing, and you're making us a blessing. What more shall we ask, my God? We give you the honor today. We just bless Brother Kale's family. We say, use him for your glory. Draw him closer and closer to you each and every day. Use him in Denmark. These countries in Western Europe, many people don't know you, Jesus. There is a famine of the Word of God. They've all forsaken you. And we are crying for them. We feel a burden for them. Their great grandfathers and ancestors, whatever little truth they had, they loved you. They used to open their Bibles and pray. Surely their prayers for their children are with you. Activate those prayers in these last days in Jesus' name. Hear the cries of the ancestors, Jesus. We give you the glory. We bless you. We bless Scandinavia. We pray for all the countries represented here, whether USA, Netherlands, the Western world. We pray for the Eastern world in Jesus' name. We give you the glory. We bless you. All of this we pray in the one and only name, the name of Jesus. And the church says, amen, amen, amen.